1420 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio, your home for news talk and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. The Michigan State University community is coming together to remember the victims of yesterday's mass shooting that has left three students dead and five others critically injured. CBS's Erica Mokay is in East Lansing.
Campus police say the gunman had no affiliation with the university, and they're still looking for a motive.
We don't have an answer right now, and that's the honest truth.
Authorities say 43-year-old Anthony McRae began his rampage at Berkey Hall, killing two and injuring several others. He then went to the student union, killing one more. McRae later died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound during a confrontation with police.
It was a caller's tip that led law enforcement to that suspect.
Michigan's top Democrats hope this mass shooting will be a wake-up call for gun control.
A political debate is underway on Capitol Hill over three recently downed objects within a few days. CBS's Nicole D'Antonio reports.
Senators received a closed-door Pentagon briefing Tuesday about the recent shootdowns of unidentified flying objects. And there are calls on both sides of the aisle for greater transparency.
While President Biden has remained largely silent on the matter, he has ordered his national security advisor to assemble a team from various agencies to handle future encounters with unidentified objects.
Former Vice President Mike Pence is planning to fight the subpoena issued to him by the Department of Justice, but not by claiming executive privilege. Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson explains why Pence got the summons in the first place as part of the agency's ongoing investigation into January 6th.
The special counsel wants him to testify because of his interactions with former President Trump and because he was on the scene. But Pence is arguing that, in fact, he is constitutionally protected from having to comply with that subpoena.
A convoy from a UN agency enters a rebel-controlled area of northern Syria from Turkey to help earthquake victims. It took place hours after a deal was reached over border crossings. Martin Schwepp with the International Committee of the Red Cross says the situation is dire.
It's a race against time to make sure that as much aid as possible can reach these people in order to help them stay warm, help to get food, help to get medicine.
The number of people with medical debt on their credit reports is declining, CBS's Monica Ricks reports.
According to federal finance experts, it fell by more than 8 million, or about 18%, between 2020 and 2022. The Biden administration credits the downturn to its policies, including an Obamacare expansion that insured another 4 million Americans during the pandemic. COVID relief funds also helped.
Lamar Johnson is a free man after a Missouri judge vacates the conviction of Johnson, who has served nearly 28 years of a life sentence for murder. Johnson was convicted for the 1994 fatal shooting of Marcus Boyd, allegedly over drug money. Johnson always maintained his innocence. This is CBS News.
Paid for by government.com.
Did you hear? A recent stash of $10 gold Liberty coins from the 1800s has been found. These gorgeous gold coins are as bright and shiny as the day they were struck in the late 1800s, and less than 50 of these gold coins are available. Coin experts are calling this gold find an incredible opportunity.
Call 1-800-935-7267,
and you are guaranteed a $10 gold Liberty coin minted by the U.S. Mint in the 1800s. But with extremely limited availability, you must call now. Now, these gold Liberty coins from the 1800s are still in uncirculated condition. That is history you can hold in your hand.
To learn more, call 1-800-935-7267.
Call now and you'll receive a free American Coin Collector's Bonus Package, a $40 value, free with every order.
Call 1-800-935-7267 now
to secure your $10 gold Liberty coins dated from the 1800s before they sell out.
That's 1-800-935-7267.
As many as 16.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Alyssa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, February 15th. In Wood County, the McMillan Memorial Library Personnel Committee will meet at 4 p.m. in the McCourt Conference Room at the library, followed by the Library Board of Trustees meeting at 5 p.m. In Portage County, the Healthcare Center Committee will meet at 5 p.m. at the Portage County Annex in Conference Rooms 1 and 2. In Adams County, the Drainage Board will hold their meeting from 10 to 11 a.m. over Zoom. The Housing Authority will meet from 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. at 350 East Liberty Street in Adams. The Wisconsin DMV is reminding residents you can obtain a free ID to vote if you don't already have another valid form of identification accepted at the polls. Wisconsin Rapids DMV is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 7:45 a.m. to 4:45 p.m. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Overcast overnight with scattered rain showers likely. Lows dip down to about 39. Southerly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 40. Cloudy skies expected. Lows level off around 20. Tomorrow night, cloudy skies. A dusting of snow Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 45.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Best at Ted Nugent.
That's so it goes. That's so it goes. That's so it goes. That's so it goes.
We are playing, is it Teddy or Riri? That Nadine, what a teenage queen. She looking so clean, especially down in between. What I like. Wang dang, sweet poontang. Wang dang, sweet poontang.
Oh my God. I'm pretty sure Riri has never uttered the name Nadine, so I'm going to go with Teddy.
You're right. That is a classic Ted Nugent song. You know, they just don't write lyrics like Wang Dang Sweet Poontang anymore, and it just is, it's underappreciated. Such a shame.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Welcome to the No Sour Ha Ha Funny Hour. You've made it. You've made it past the sludge of
hard
topics
news
and frustrating things, and you've made it to the fun hour. And if you've been listening all 3 hours, you might have already gotten sick of the poontang, but Jane has a very funny story of her sister. Her sister's very concerned that we are going to get in trouble with a certain somebody.
Well, I had been working on that open last night for a while, and my sister Suzanne came over and we had a glass of wine, and at one point I was just like, you want to hear what I've been working on? Because I don't think people always appreciate all of the different things that we all do here.
Yeah.
And this is something that I love to do because it makes me laugh. And so I was working on that open and I played it for her and she said, aren't you afraid you're going to get in trouble? And I said, trouble with who? And she said, well, Ted Nugent or Ronnie Jackson. And I said, I think it's highly unlikely that Congressman Ronnie Jackson from Texas or Ted Nugent is going to somehow stumble over our program and hear our open. But here's hoping.
Here's hoping.
Here's hoping.
But also, we don't say anything bad. We just read his lyrics.
Well, yeah.
We don't call him any names.
No.
We just point out the fact that are Ted Nugent's lyrics really that much cleaner than Riri's lyrics?
Pretty much.
And I think we said no.
Yeah.
They're not.
But I
look
just,
in the mirror.
I just found her concern really sweet. I said, we'll be all right. We'll get a lawyer. It'll be fine.
It'll be fine. It'll be fine. All right. Well, later in this hour, we are going to be talking to Chris Corkery, who is the founder of the 100 Acre Farm, which is a first of its kind. It is a unique urban farm that's providing rapid response to food insecurity in Milwaukee. And it's at Century City. It's in the heart of like manufacturing where the trains meet. And if you drive by it on 31st and Capitol, you would not guess that is a place where they're growing food all year round. And so I can't wait to talk to him. He's also from New York.
Oh, cool.
And so he's like, he came to Milwaukee for this.
Wow.
And so I can't wait to talk to him about like his impressions of Wisconsin, because I think that would be a fun game as someone who is new. And so I'm really excited for that. That's going to be at 1:30. And in the next segment, it's kind of the anti-Valentine's Day gift. It's a gift you can give to yourself in honor of your ex that a certain zoo, the San Antonio Zoo, is helping you have some catharsis and some closure.
A little cleansing.
To your last relationship. But for now, I thought we'd have a little discussion on what is your favorite holiday-specific candy?
Mm.
Do you have one?
Well, I'd love chocolate-covered cherries. You can never go wrong.
Is that a...
That's kind of a Christmassy thing. Or
but I feel
Valentine's Day, that would work.
I'm talking like candy corn.
Oh.
I'm talking candy hearts, peppermint sticks, or like candy canes. Like,
are those the favorite of anybody?
I do like candy canes.
Do you?
I got my hair cut last week and they had leftover candy canes in the salon. And I just like, I mean, we've already established my affinity for Skittles and sugary candy, more so than chocolate. And I like candy canes. I think it's a good candy. I do not like candy corn. And I used to really like candy hearts.
Well, but to me, that's a kid's... It's a bad candy.
It's not. It is not great.
It's like third tier candy.
It does... is my memory of it, because I can't even remember the last time I had candy hearts. But surely, as a kid, the trade that happens, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you get your candy hearts and you look at all the messages,
right?
And you trade which ones for with your friends of the messages that you like, or you give them, and it's like a little note that you send to your crush.
Yep.
And I feel like as a kid, though, I remember eating them and not being disgusted of being like, oh, this isn't a good candy. Like, I saved like the pink ones and the white ones, and they had different, the flavors were different enough that I had my method of eating them in which order.
Sure.
I would save the best ones for last.
Sure, sure.
But yeah, I don't even know the last time I saw any candy hearts, though.
I don't know if I should share this on air, but
yes, you should.
There was a colleague that I worked with previously, very, very wonderful man, adore him. Every year he would give us all a box of candy hearts, which I would keep in my desk for 2 months, and then I would throw it away.
You wouldn't even look at what the messages were?
No. Do you think he went through that box to make sure the messages were appropriate? No. How much room is there on those little candy hearts to say something of significance anyway?
Well, the New York Times actually last week published... I love the range of the New York Times sometimes. I'm like, this is every newspaper, but just... the serious approach that some of these articles have to such non-serious topics, and it's still interesting, but it's, I find it very amusing. But the title of the piece is, "What Do Candy Hearts Tell Us? Be Clever, Be Current, Be Mine." And it's basically, there's two different companies that make candy hearts.
Okay.
And it's a thing. It, like, the update of having current lingo every year and updating it every year so that it reflects the times is like a major part of the production of these candy hearts. And so, you know, at one point, Fax Me was on there. It wouldn't make any sense to have Fax Me carts anymore because we don't use fax. I mean, does anyone use a fax machine anymore?
I still see it come up every once in a while.
Like on a, like a...
on a business website, they will still provide a fax number.
Is that because boomers still don't know how to transfer something to be a PDF?
Maybe.
Do you know how to make something into a PDF?
Maybe.
I'll teach you.
I might.
You've gotten very technically savvy since taking this job.
I can color in boxes on an Excel sheet now. It's very exciting.
You can do that. You know what Ping Me means?
I do.
You now use Ping?
I do.
I pinged him?
I'm liking Ping.
But at one point, there was also Page Me.
Oh, man.
Which is obviously dated. But now there's, you know, now there's DM Me. There was TTYL at one point. I don't know if people say TTYL anymore.
TTYL.
Talk to you later.
Oh.
That was very AIM chat message. I still use of that era. Do I? No, I don't. I don't text BRB. BRB.
No,
be right back. I don't think I do that.
I don't think many people do that anymore.
And I think that might be, is that because of the advent of text messaging? And so you're kind of just always there?
Pretty much.
Because, or just our smartphones in general, because if you think about when we were chatting previously, if you stepped away from your computer, you were letting them know, you're giving them the courtesy of, hey, if you try to talk to me, I'm not here.
Right.
I'm not just ignoring you. But now, with these little computers in our pocket, you're always available. Whether you like it or not.
I left my phone upstairs over the weekend, and my husband came down and he said, you left your third arm.
Are you on your phone a lot?
Yes.
I'm on my phone a lot.
It's bad.
I am also on my phone a lot. But I just thought it was interesting. There's now Bay.
B-E-Y?
B-A-E.
Oh, for
my Bay.
My boo.
Yeah, it's like that. I think it's before any. Now, what does it stand for? I used to know this. It's not something I use. I know what it is, and it's like a term of endearment. Before any. All. No. Before any other, but that would be an O. I forgot what the E stands for. But yeah, I feel like I need to go out and I'm going to do an experiment today. I think after today's show, I'm going to go get a box of candy hearts and see what the 2023 vernacular is and how much feels evergreen. How many of these little messages that feel like this could have been made in 1958 or 2023. And then how many feel very specific to the times.
Bay, by the way, according to the Urban Dictionary, stands for before anyone else. A shortened version of baby or babe. And we had also asked if anybody wanted to share their favorite candy specific or holiday specific candies. Texter from the 262, as a native of the Commonwealth of Kentucky, I feel like bourbon balls on Derby Day are the best candy related to a holiday. I can respect that.
I could get into that.
Yeah.
I could get into that. I think anything having... You know what I never ended up making is the bourbon Rice Krispies.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Those sound good.
Mm-hmm.
Bourbon balls on Derby Day. Respect. But again, I feel like that's a baked good. Aren't bourbon balls like a bakery item?
Maybe more so than a candy.
A candy? But... Did you come up with yours as far as a candy specific?
I don't like chocolate covered cherries. I don't like any of those third tier candies. They're just bad candy. Although now I think I will look through candy hearts because I think I want to look for Hey Bra. that was in the Rihanna song that she kicked off the halftime show with, right? Be better have my money. And it's Hey Bra is a phrase in
is
there.
Is a repeating.
Yeah.
Hey Bra.
Hey Bra.
Hey Bra.
Mm-hmm.
I sound like Rihanna, don't I?
So much.
All right. Well, when we come back, a certain San Antonio Zoo wants to help you have some closure with your last failed relationship, especially if you are not on good terms with your ex. They have a very creative way. This is not the first time they've done this, but it is a creative way to feel like you're done with it. You can move on. So stick around. We're going to talk about that next. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio. Always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
It makes me smile, and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh,
oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Yes! Yeah, I love it. Listen Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast overnight with a chance for scattered rain showers. Lows around 41. Winds out of the south, 10 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 45. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Chance of snow. Lows dip down to about 25. 4 to 8 inches of snow tomorrow night through Thursday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. Currently, it's 46 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Matnair. We are having fun in the No Sour Ha Ha Funny Power Hour. And this is, I can't believe I haven't heard of this before.
I think it's a tradition for some
have
places.
Have you heard of this before?
Yes.
Okay. See, sometimes I think I'm being original and then you're my partner and you've been doing this for 40 years.
I've just been alive a long time.
Well, you've also been finding content and topics to talk about for a very long time. And it's a reminder that sometimes nothing is original.
Yes, but everything old is new again.
So if you at home have not heard of this, I'm excited to introduce it to you. And I'm also interested if you would do this. And so if you would do this, let us know. 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. Is there an X? And I guess we could open this up. It could be an ex-romantic partner.
Okay.
It could also be a family member that you don't talk to anymore. It could be an ex-friend because people go through friend breakups. But if there is someone you would like to, like, you remember when we talked about that day with the head squishing?
Yeah.
And just the little bit of feeling better if you close one eye and you take someone's head in between your fingers and you just smush it. Sometimes you feel a little bit better.
Imaginary, of course.
Imaginary. It causes no real harm.
No.
This also causes no real harm. This is not a voodoo doll. But the San Antonio Zoo is offering a special Valentine's Day greeting for exes who just won't bug off. For $10, the zoo will name a cockroach after your not-so-special someone and feed it to an animal.
Oh. Well, now, that's an ending I did not expect.
Wait, I thought you said you've heard about this before.
I have, but I didn't realize they fed them.
Oh, what do you think they do? Keep them as pets?
I would.
You keep the cockroach as a pet?
I would like it to stay at the zoo as a pet, where I can go visit Franklin and check on him and see if anybody stepped on him yet.
So you thought this was... The revenge was just knowing that there was a cockroach that was named after your ex.
And you could go visit him.
Oh, no. This is a cockroach named after your ex who will then be fed to a larger animal.
Now, that seems harsh.
So this is, it's called, it's an annual event. And it's called Cry Me a Cockroach. It's a fundraiser that supports the zoo's vision of securing a future for wildlife in Texas and around the world, which is a very good mission. But those not into bugs can choose a vegetable for $5 or a rodent for $25.
And then they're going to feed the rodent?
This is all food.
No!
The animals have to eat. They eat something. They're not all vegetarians.
I'm dismayed.
Did I send you the video of this wildlife wedding that really had nature embark on their wedding?
Oh, no.
So, you know, it's a circle of life. And sometimes even the cutest animals
can be vicious.
Can be vicious because it's part of their survival. So it was a couple that was getting married and it was a video of them and everyone's uncomfortably laughing so hard because it was beautiful. It was somewhere in the mountains. They were getting married on a lake and the videos, like they're at the tip of a pier, lakes behind them, mountains are behind them. And everyone's laughing uncomfortably. And then the cell phone camera scans over to what everyone can't believe is happening. And it is a bear eating a moose.
Oh, no. Wow.
Pretty aggressively. And that was just in the backdrop of their wedding.
Wow. Those are some vibes.
It was some vibes. And I was like, well, at least none of your guests will ever, ever forget that. But my point being, animals eat other animals,
Jane. I know. I realize that.
This is why I feel like I could never have... I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't really want a snake. But I had a friend growing up who had a snake, and they had to feed it rodents.
Yeah.
That's
like owls.
Yeah.
You know? And you're... No, I couldn't. I'm too much of a squish.
You just... The dry kibble is enough.
Yes.
For the dogs.
Can't there be... some chow for snake chow.
Snake chow. But all donors will receive a digital Valentine's Day card showing their support for the zoo. And they can also opt to send their ex-boo a digital Valentine's Day card informing them that a cockroach, rodent, or veggie was named after them and fed to an animal.
Oh, let it go.
There's no one you would want to do this to?
No, because that just lets them know that they still bug you.
That's... Literally.
Yes, literally. Don't let him win. Don't let him win.
I feel like I would do this for Mike just because I think it's funny. Not because I don't love him dearly, but I think it's hilarious. And it's supporting a good cause.
It is.
It is. So it may be too late because I think you had to do this before Valentine's Day. But if it's an annual thing, you can do it next year. But
sign up today for next year.
It's a little different vibe than what the Milwaukee Zoo does.
You can adopt an animal, can't you?
No, it's the digital Valentine's.
Oh, the digital Valentine's, which is so cool.
Yes. So, all right. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the 100-acre farm in Century City. Chris Corkery will be here. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
WAUK 540 AM.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
Pride.
Left corner, three on the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists in their own words.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My big sister Jenna's face turned bright red. She was just showing people online how to use a new cream. She still has the scars.
My brother's friend Billy had to jump off his motor scooter when it caught fire. He fell and got hit by a car. He broke his leg, blew his chances to play basketball in college.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broke in two. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested for safety. Protect yourself. Don't fall for fake products.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
After I came home from Iraq, I could still hear the booms. Makes it hard to be a good mom.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
I'm Naomi Mathis, Air Force veteran.
DAV helps veterans get the benefits they've earned.
Thanks to DAV, I was able to begin to heal.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories great and small.
My victory is being able to be here for my children.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. The 30-year-old driver who crashed his vehicle in Amherst Junction, killing a 58-year-old passenger, made his first appearance in court yesterday. Axel Cruz Zelaya of Appleton has been charged with operating a vehicle without a valid license, causing death. The crash happened on November 18th on Highway 10 West. Speed and road conditions contributed to the vehicle entering the ditch before rolling and ending upright. The 58-year-old passenger was pronounced dead at the scene. Cruz Zelaya faces up to 6 years in jail if convicted. Governor Evers wants automatic voter registration in Wisconsin. More details of his 2-year budget proposal are coming out ahead of his budget address tomorrow night. Evers wants to connect the databases for the DMV and the Elections Commission, so when you get your driver's license or renew it, you're registered to vote. The governor is also proposing a number of other voting initiatives, even though they're not expected to become part of the final budget. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Overcast, overnight, with scattered rain showers likely. Lows dip down to about 39. Southerly winds, 10 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for scattered rain showers, tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 40. Cloudy skies expected. Lows level off around 20. Tomorrow night, cloudy skies. A dusting of snow, Thursday.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 45.
It's here. There's some breaking news, huh, Jane?
There is breaking news that crossed came across my Twitter feed from Senator Dianne Feinstein of California. I am announcing today I will not run for re-election in 2024, but intend to accomplish as much for California as I can through the end of next year when my term ends. Even with a divided Congress, we can still pass bills to improve lives. Each of us was sent here to solve problems. That's what I've done for the last 30 years and what I plan to do for the next two. My thanks to the people of California for allowing me to serve them.
It's a very nice note.
It is a nice note.
I don't know if she wrote it.
Well, there's that. There is a lot of speculation that she's having memory issues and things like that. She's 86.
She's 89.
89.
Yeah, she was born in 1933.
Wow.
And you know, and talk about a career, though. I mean, she went to Stanford in the 50s, which is, you know, thinking about, I'm not sure there was a lot of women going to Stanford in the 50s.
I was going to say that must have been a pretty lonely place.
In 1955. And she's been a senator since 1992. So 30 years. And before that, I just looked this up now. I didn't realize that she was mayor of San Francisco for 10 years.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
From 78 to 88, she was the mayor.
Wow.
And so she has, I mean, it is interesting as far as you put her in a similar category, I would say, as like Nancy Pelosi, as far as dominant women who did make a big impact and spent so much of their life in service.
Yeah.
Should she have retired maybe a little bit earlier?
She could still step down tomorrow and let Newsom appoint someone, couldn't she?
That is true. But you know, I mean, I think everyone kind of saw this coming, considering Katie Porter has already announced.
Right.
Adam Schiff has announced. That's still speculated.
We'll check.
Okay. Because that will now, and I was thinking about this the other day, as far as, you know, because not that we already want to jump to 2024, but in 2024, Tammy Baldwin will be up for re-election, and Milwaukee Journal Sentinel last week published an article kind of speculating on which Republicans in Wisconsin might challenge her. There's no one who's announced for that race in Wisconsin, but there's just talk about who could that even be. And so but you think about it, and like, in the partisan politics of it, especially when it comes to senators, when there's only the two in most states, obviously there's some states that have very low populations like Wyoming, Alaska, that only even have one congressman. But of this idea of waiting your turn until the established senator decides that they're not running. Yeah. And so like, it's Tammy's seat until it's not Tammy's seat, as far as Democrats in Wisconsin are concerned. And if you think about how long people have been waiting in California. And so there's a lot of people who are very ready and excited to run for that position.
And Schiff is in the race, by the way.
Thank you. All right. Chris Corkery is on the phone. We are so excited to have you here, Chris. How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. So as I've been prepping this for the whole day, because this was kind of our cherry on top of otherwise a poop Sunday for so many of our topics, because we had a pretty heavy show. And I promised the audience that the end of the show was going to be uplifting, because what you are doing with the 100-acre farm, I find so cool. So for the audience, explain what the 100-acre farm is.
Sure. So on a very basic level, we are the largest indoor vertical hydroponic facility in the state, where we grow leafy greens and specialty herbs inside a large warehouse year-round, harvesting every single week. So essentially, we're in an oasis where it's always summer, no matter what's going on outside, so that we can provide a healthier, hyper-local food offering to the surrounding communities.
So explain, because I think I even got lost. I think I can have an image of it, what the hydroponic vertical farm looks like.
Yeah, that's a great question, because you sort of need to break it down into all those words that I use, and I can imagine how it can get you lost. But the first thing is to really just clarify indoor. So some folks think that we are a greenhouse, or they just don't know. In fact, we are a self-contained box, basically a laboratory-type conditions that recreate Mother Nature, where it's 72 degrees with perfect humidity every single day, no matter what's going on outside. So, you know, we're essentially a box inside of a box, and that's what defines indoor for us. The second part is, we're vertical. So instead of growing on one level, right, like square feet, one level of soil, we're stacked five high. So we have five levels of growing. We grow in cubic feet instead of square feet. So we're five times more efficient with that. And it really looks more like a bookcase, if you will, or a pallet rack with five levels of plants growing. And then lastly is hydroponics. As you can imagine, hydro, it's referring to water. There's zero soil inside our farm. So the act of hydroponically growing is where you have seeds suspended in an artificial medium. And in our case, it's a biodegradable, compost-friendly product. And that kind of just holds the seed in place, and nutrient-rich water runs over those sponges so that the seeds get the perfect balance of both water and nutrients every single day. So again, there's indoor, which is the controlled environment, vertical, because we grow in layers, stacked five high, and then hydroponics, which is growing in nutrient-rich water instead of soil.
Huh. We're talking to Chris Corkery about the 100-acre farm, which is located inside Century City in Milwaukee at 35th and Capitol. Chris, what happens to the produce after you harvest it? Where does it go? What do you go to certain grocery stores? Do you just have farmer stands?
Right. Yeah, so the way we launched the 100-acre model is really a B2B solution, right? A business-to-business. So we're plugging into other food businesses that need access to this type of product. As you know, there's been a lot of issues with fresh greens reaching the store shelves of grocery stores, right? The price has gone up, or it's just not available, or it goes bad by the time the end consumer purchases it and puts it in their fridge. So we sell to a couple of different groups. First and foremost, like you said, the grocery stores. So we're very excited to be launching into Outpost in a couple of weeks with our retail packaging. We also sell through to a food bank partner, Feeding America, through a unique program that allows our food to get to the underserved population. We've built out our high-end restaurant network. So if you've gone to any of the nicer restaurants in Milwaukee, it's likely that you're having our salad or basil. Huh. And then lastly, we have some partnerships with the distributors out there, like Aramark and Sodexo, which takes our food and then puts it into the dining halls of MSOE, Marquette, the Brewers Stadium. We're going to be there for game day opening. So we've really covered the city in a real great way in our first year of operation by providing a solution for these other food businesses who could not otherwise get fresh local greens.
So I guess my question is, because in our email correspondence to get you on the show, why Milwaukee? Aren't you from New York?
Yeah, I am. I am. I'm the ultimate transplant. A lot of folks say, "How'd you find us?" I was first introduced to this city through an advisor and sort of angel investor who I had met in New York. But he's from here. He's a Marquette alum. He did really well. He's in finance, and he was over in New York, and we met through a networking event. And after getting to know each other, he got really excited about my vision for transforming underused urban spaces into these sort of food sanctuaries. So he brought us out here as a sponsor. Why did I stay? I think that's the bigger question. Mm-hmm. Why did I think that this was a great place to do this? Well, first of all, like I said, there's a lot of underused warehouse spaces that, you know, for whatever reason, they haven't been, it hasn't been figured out on what to do with all this vacant space. And we think that this is a great solution. Growing food indoors could be a great solution within urban communities where these spaces are otherwise vacant. Secondly, Milwaukee has a really rich heritage of agriculture and manufacturing. So we're sort of a mix of both, and we're bringing it back. It seems like everyone I meet here, being a New York City guy, everyone here seems to have a relative, like a grandparent or uncle, who was either a farmer or a factory worker. So there's that connection, and that's what we're doing. We're bringing it back in a healthier, more exciting way, to be honest. That's really the movement with urban ag tech. And then lastly, this city is, I mean, small Milwaukee is accessible. So I'm coming from out of town and I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do or who to talk to. And it's very easy to connect with people and navigate the city when you have this vision and you're trying to test something out. It's friendly and it's welcoming. And honestly, because I could navigate it, it really helped me get my doors open last year and do this in a big way.
Chris, are you able to employ many people in the neighborhood?
Yes, that's our primary focus. So, you know, we are a farm, right? Our business is growing, but we don't really see it just as growing the lettuce and the herbs. We've almost gotten that perfected, like a green assembly line. We're really here to grow people. So we offer a dedicated workforce development platform for entry-level employment. That is to become a farm tech associate at the 100-acre farm, where you not only learn about the basics of growing and plant science, but, you know, things like more advanced teamwork and collaboration. You know, the farm itself is set up a lot like a professional kitchen with different stations, and you specialize in that work. So it's a really exciting opportunity to offer up our space as an employment resource. And yes, we do hire local. So that has been our commitment since day one. And now since we've passed the 1 year mark, we're starting to establish some really exciting partnerships with local organizations that facilitate that employment. So, you know, it's not just us doing it alone, but it's working with local representation.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we have to take a quick break, but when we come back, Chris Corkery will still be talking to us about the 100-acre farm. If you have any questions for him, you can text us 844-967-2789. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. Station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Ty Christian from Lords of the Trident. Can you say Max Inc. Radio rocks, Jimmy K is awesome in Japanese?
Sure. Let's see. How do I say rocks? Let me see. Sugoi! Max Inc. Radio wa sugoi datta omoimasu. I just said you're great, you know.
Thank you. You're great too. Original local music from Wisconsin. It's Max Inc. Radio on Civic Media. Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight. We are local music.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast overnight with a chance for scattered rain showers. Lows around 41. Winds out of the south, 10 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 45. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Chance of snow. Lows dip down to about 25. 4 to 8 inches of snow tomorrow night through Thursday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 46 degrees.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And a reminder that if you missed any part of today's show, you can always go back and listen to it as a podcast in three separate hours. So you can pick and choose which interviews or topics you want to go back and listen to. And you can find that on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or wherever you find podcasts. And so right now we are still talking to Chris Corkery, who is the owner of the 100-acre farm in Century City, which is an urban farm. And if you look from the outside, you probably wouldn't even expect that it's there. But in the inside, it is making growing greens and then selling greens throughout the city of Milwaukee. And before you were explaining the efficiency and the technology that goes into urban farming, Chris, and so as you also mentioned, this is an agricultural state. And so when you think about kind of the technology and the efficiencies that goes into what you're doing, is this in addition to or competition for more traditional soil-based farming?
At this point in time, we really see it as a complement to the overall agricultural sector. The reality is you just can't grow what we grow in the middle of the winter here. So we're not necessarily competing with any of those farmers. And in fact, what we're doing is we're trying to elevate the agricultural sector on a hyper-local basis in which we can be more reliable farmers to our customer partners. The biggest challenge we've heard them explain, whether it's the large grocers or a fancy high-end small independent restaurant, it's the consistent reliability. It's really tough to do that. And then, unfortunately, it's becoming harder more so than ever with the environmental conditions that we face. So, you know, what we're trying to do is provide a reliable supplement to some of the more traditional forms of farming. And in fact, we love soil-based farms, and there's so much more that you can do on a traditional farm that we will never be able to do, no matter what the technology offers. So we just need to kind of all come together and support each other, and we hope that we can be an urban hub, a resource center for some of these farms by opening up our space around education and even something as simple as cold storage. I think it's just about the little wins and bringing everything together.
So, Chris, as you see expansion for the one location you have right now in Century City, do you see expansion as far as more locations in Milwaukee or throughout Wisconsin, or are you thinking more locations in other metropolitan areas throughout the country?
The answer is both.
Okay.
But short term, we're not really interested in bigger farms. And the reason those exist is, to be frank, it's a profit center,
yeah,
right? The bigger you go, the more profit you make because it's efficient. Trust me, we're a for-profit. We like profit. It's good. It inspires stronger talent, innovation. It's good. It's good to have nice things. You can afford nicer things, right? But that's not the point. The point is we're trying to open more community-based farms that serve as a network across Milwaukee effectively transforming this city into one of the largest urban agricultural cities in the country by measurement of weight. So the short term is around opening more farms within the metropolitan area, of which each farm is dedicated to a specific crop. It's specialized. And if you have one on the south side doing arugula, we'll have our north side location doing the Italian basil. The other one on the west side, you know, doing our lettuce blend, you know, and then that's pretty much it. We're we've done our job because there is only so much we can grow. And the network effects are tremendous because with all that data, you can really make it an efficient, secure place, not just for the customers and not just the investors, but also the landlord and the employees that we bring in, right? All those benefits always go back to the people that make the farm successful. So it's really around building out a network within the Southeast Wisconsin area. And then, yes, if that model works, we absolutely intend to scale it into other similar cities like Cleveland or Cincinnati.
Chris, you're a New Yorker, you're a transplant to Milwaukee, you like food. What are some of your favorite restaurants that you've discovered in Milwaukee, or at least in southeastern Wisconsin since you've been here?
That's a dangerous question. I sell to so many. I don't think I could say all of them. You know, there's some that are remarkable partners. I you know, and it really just depends on the category of food you're looking for, right? You got fast casual and then you got like super high end. I'm just a huge fan of Black Shoe Hospitality and their leadership and the different restaurants they own and operate. I was first introduced to Story Hill BKC when I came here years ago, and I always had dreamed to, you know, sell to them because of their attention to quality and community. So that's by far one of my favorites, Story Hill's vibe and just what they do. And everyone that comes out of there, because the chefs move around. So, you know, you got Buttermint and Maxie's I'm a big fan of that group. You know, and then there's some of the independents that just, they speak for themselves, like Diplomat. But honestly, like another unsuspecting group, when you don't really think of this when you think of hotels, but you know, the crew over at Journeyman, the Kimpton, the Trey Ravalli group, they run a operation that is not like your typical hotel feeling restaurant, right? Franchise or whatever. It feels very down to earth and super connected, and they also are a great partner. So like I said, I have a massive list. I worked as a professional chef in New York City for many years, which is what got me into this. So it's tough to say just one, but they always seem to jump out as my go-to.
Absolutely. All right. Well, you have 1 minute because I want you to be able to promote your event on March 1st. But your speed round pitch.
Yeah. So we are looking to expand and open up another farm this year. Our demand is just out of control, and we're happy. It's a tough problem to have, so we're looking for locations. It's all about the location, especially with a farm. with that said, we're hosting our first high profile fundraiser for our Feeding America partner. Last year, we managed to deliver just under 20,000 salads to the underserved communities in our neighborhood through the Feeding America distribution partnership. That's not bad for year one being open. So now we're doing a fundraiser at our event space in our farm. It's a ticketed event. And the goal is to raise money to expand upon that program. And it's unprecedented because most of these food banks can't really afford to take in leafy greens, because by the time they receive them, they're already perishing. So now Absolutely. We flipped the script, and it's a really exciting opportunity. So that'll be happening on March 1st.
All right. Perfect. Well, Chris Corkery, thank you so much for all that you're doing. Thank you for spending time with us today. And we will link more information about 100 Acre Farm on our show notes for today.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.